then, the youngest ones, to Jason's class. And let's turn in our Bibles to 2 John. Now, something a little different here tonight. We introduced 2 John last time. The theme of 2 John is truth must always govern the exercise of love. The theme, truth, and we'll put the in front of it because of referring to God's Word and Jesus Christ, the truth must always govern the exercise of love. And remember, we're talking uniquely Christian love, agape love, self-sacrificing love. And that is always in truth. And truth, to be real truth, must be applied truth. Must be applied truth. It must be lived out in each one of us. Truth must be lived out. If it's not lived out in us, it's not real truth. Truth must always govern the exercise of love. And we got into the introduction last time, the elder being... Look at verse 1 there. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also those who have known the truth. There we see that the truth then unites believers. We are one in the Lord. The elect lady then refers to the church and the children in the church, those believers. And John the apostle being the elder, he looks on the church at Ephesus and the surrounding churches to which he was an apostle, the ambassador for Christ, as his children in the Lord. And that word, remember, is technia. They are dependent. They need someone to look after them, lead them in the way of truth and that. And in those first four verses, I have that circled in my Bible, remember, love in truth, truth in truth. And verse 4, in truth. The emphasis is five times there in truth, and that five being the number of grace. And then the second verse, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. There the truth indwells believers. Now, I was looking at this during the week and that, and it just dawned on me, and so I want to emphasize this verse tonight, verse 2. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. I've entitled this tonight, Are You Filled with the Spirit? And the theme is Confess Sin Daily, Be Filled Daily, Be Filled Daily. The story is told that D.L. Moody was being considered for an evangelism crusade in London, England, and a bunch of pastors met. And D.L. Moody was brought up to be the keynote speaker in that. And one of the pastors got up and said, why must it be D.L. Moody? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And one of the other pastors said quietly, no, but it's evident that the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. The Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. And that's what I want each of us who say we name the name of Christ, that should be said of us. The Holy Spirit has a monopoly on us. And that's what we're going to get into tonight in terms of the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is a teaching that I can't ever remember being taught that when I was growing up in the church. And of course, I can tell you the way the church is today, the church is in Wilmer, you're not going to find this type of doctrinal teaching that we do here at Grace Baptist. But what we're going to do tonight is discuss here the filling of the Spirit. And you look closely at verse 2. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Because of the truth. Now, I asked the question myself this week, why isn't the truth capitalized? The refers to a specific truth. It's just like Jude verse 3. We must earnestly contend for the faith. Well, what's the faith? The faith is the Word of God, which is also called the truth. Okay? But I ask myself, why isn't this capitalized? Now, look in your Bible at 1 John 1:2. You might remember when we were teaching on 1 John that we brought this up then. And this was something that you'll see once in a while. One of the expositors of 1 John will say this. 1 John 1:2. Look at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, that's the gospel, Christ's earthly ministry, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life, referring to Jesus there, word is capitalized, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which is with the Father and was manifested to us. You probably have written in your Bible there where I said is capitalized life and capitalized eternal life. Those are titles for Jesus that manifest his glory, who he is, see, as titles for Jesus. So when we look at 2 John verse 2, the truth, what does it say of Jesus Christ in John 14, 6? Jesus says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth can refer to the Word of God. That refers to the Word of God. The Word of God is the body of truth. It's God's Word of truth to us. Think of John 17, 17. The means of our sanctification is the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy Word. Thy Word is truth. But it can also refer to Jesus Christ being the truth. The truth abides in us. The truth abides in us. Can you and I accomplish anything in life without Christ abiding in us? What did we just quote? John 15, 5. Jesus said, without me you can do something? No, nothing. Nothing. See, nothing. And we know being born again is in Christ, united to Christ. Okay? Now, it also says, we've been going through on Sunday mornings, John 16, 5 through verse 15 is the longest passage on the Holy Spirit in the Gospel according to John. And so you look at John 16, 13, and it says what? The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit of truth. John 16, 13, 15, 26, 14, 17, and 1 John 5, 6. All these verses, the Spirit of truth abides in us. So, you and I who are born again in Christ, we have the Word of God in us. Think of James 1, 21. The implanted Word which is able to save your soul. Or 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God which lives and abides in you. Okay? We have Jesus Christ in us. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Think of 1 Corinthians 14. 1545. There we go. Had a little senior moment there. 1545. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So in Christ's resurrection, they said that Jesus is so united to his spirit, it's like Jesus' spirit. See, their spirit, two members of the Godhead. So we have Jesus in us. We have the Spirit of truth in us. What happens when we're born again? We are what? Baptized with the Spirit. When we're born again, we are baptized with the Spirit. Baptized with the Spirit. With the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Greek, bond or free, and all made to drink into one Spirit. We're not one body, but members of a body. Okay? So we're baptized with the Spirit. We are indwelt. Indwelt by the Spirit. United to Christ. United to the Spirit. So there's a sense here where I say, why shouldn't that be capitalized, you see? because of the truth which abides in us. The word for abide there is meno. This is one of the key words, remember we said in 1 John, 24 times in the Greek, meno. So it means abides, dwells, remains, continues, and what it's talking about within you. Within you. If it abides, it is meno, it is in us. Abides in us. It's within us. And will be with us forever. What are we talking about there? Eternal security. Eternal security. Oh, I tell you, we've said this before, but how these Armenian churches in Wilmer, Minnesota hate that. You mention that, eternal security, and they just get frosty with you. They hate that. But the Holy Spirit is indwelling us. It's with us forever. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, it's our down payment. It's the guarantee. The guarantee of everything that God has promised us we will receive in Christ when Christ returns and we'll see Christ face to face. Eternal security. Now, there is a difference here between the Old and New Testament when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And I want to get into this now. This is real encouragement for us too when we talk about dealing with the frowning providences of life. We're dealing with false teachers, the Gnostics, you know, people we encounter and all of this that counter God's word, the secularists, the world, and everything else. What's the difference then? What's the difference between Holy Spirit in New Testament, Old Testament, and New Testament? The key verse here, when I was going through the Gospel according to John, this really struck me. You know, every once in a while you come across something when the light bulbs go off, is John 14:17. John 14:17. Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, because what? He dwells with you, and shall be in you. He dwells with you and shall be in you. This here is Old Testament. This is pre-Pentecost. Pre-Pentecost. And this is Pentecost. And post-Pentecost. When scholars look at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, what they talk about, B.B. Warfield talks about, is the theocratic spirit. The theocratic spirit. And what a theocratic spirit is referring to is the spirit then that comes upon a person, anoints him, for a certain task, to accomplish a certain task, okay, for a time. It's interesting when you look at verses in Scripture, David says to God, take not your Holy Spirit from me, from me. And 1 Samuel 16:13-18, the Spirit of the Lord then was with David. He was taken from King Saul, and a distressing spirit from God came then upon Saul. See? But the terminology there, you see, is not the New Testament. When we're talking about indwelling within us, what we're talking about here is in the Old Testament and pre-Pentecost is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. See? It's different than in the New Testament. So Pentecost is the birth of the church. The birth of the church is Pentecost. And at Pentecost, what happened was the emphasis of Pentecost is baptism with the Spirit. Okay? Baptism with the Spirit, you can say as a synonym for that, is an indwelling of the Spirit. And I think that's one L, right, Nance? Indwelling of the Spirit. It's also a sealing of the Spirit. Martin Lloyd-Jones says the baptism of the Spirit and the sealing of the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 1:22. Is a synonym for a baptism of the Spirit. Okay, has everybody got that? I need a bigger board, as usual. I've got to erase this now. Everybody got it? Okay. So what Pentecost did is this. You can be, and we'll hit this probably later too. You can be baptized with the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. And you can be filled with the Spirit without being baptized by the Spirit. Okay, that's very important. You can be baptized with the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, same time. Okay? And you can be filled with the Spirit without being baptized with the Spirit. Reason being, baptized with the Spirit is a one-time event. One-time event. That's it. But we'll get into this more. Filled with the Spirit is a repeated event. Repeated event. Okay? Now that's all I'm going to say about it now. We'll say a little more here just shortly. But first of all here, what I want to do is I want to say what filling of the Spirit is not. Okay, everybody got this? Okay. What filling of the Spirit is not? What filling of the Spirit is not? There can be lots of confusion on this, so we want to be clear on this. Filling of the Spirit is not an ecstatic experience. What? Not an. Oh, yeah. Okay. Not an ecstatic experience. In other words, it's not some zap where, you know, you're all excited and, you know, you're jumping for joy and, you know, all this type of thing like a hallelujah church would do, see? Like an experience you're having like that, okay? And if you've ever been in hallelujah churches like I am, you know what this is here, okay? It is not a second blessing. Being filled with the Spirit is not a second blessing. In other words, you're baptized with the Spirit, you're born again, you're filled with the Spirit, and then later on you have this second blessing, see? Well, then it happens, and then you're a Christian up here, see, and everybody else is down here. That's what hallelujah churches do. See, hallelujah churches do this. They have what are called second blessings, but that's not what this is, and that's not biblical. Okay? Number three, it's not an act of the flesh, in other words, something that you and I do with Holy Spirit approval. Okay? It's not an act of the flesh. It's not something you and I do with Holy Spirit approval. It is not being indwelt by the Spirit. We've already touched on this, but just to reinforce it, indwelt by the Spirit. So then, synonyms for that, it's not being baptized by the Spirit. Baptized by the Spirit. It is not being sealed by the Spirit. See, those are all synonyms. It's not being sealed by the Spirit. And it is not progressive. Not progressive. This is interesting to me. When you and I are baptized with the Spirit, how much of the Spirit do you and I receive? When you come to saving faith in Christ, you're united to Christ, you're indwelt by the Spirit, how much of the Spirit do we receive? Do we receive a leg of the Holy Spirit? Do we receive an arm of the Holy Spirit? Do we receive 50% of the Holy Spirit? What do we do? Holy Spirit is a person, right? You receive the person. 100%. 100%. So this is not progressive, see, where you receive parts of them. You receive 100%. Okay? Everybody with me? We'll touch more on this. We'll touch more on this up ahead. Yeah, I'm going to get there. There's Acts 6 with Stephen. Yeah. Right. Yeah, a unique description. Okay, Pastor Ryan is just one step ahead of Dad here, but right, thinking along the same line, because that was the next thing I was going to touch on here. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18, that's our key text here on when you're thinking of filling of the Spirit. Okay? Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine. But be filled with the Spirit. Okay, now, the word here, filled, in the Greek, is pleroo. Pleroo. Okay? Pleroo. What he's talking about here is not just a sip of wine. See? He's talking about excess. Excess. What's called dissipation. You're soaked. Or like we say in America, someone gets drunk, you know, they're sauced. They're sauced. They're totally under the influence. Totally under the influence. Totally under the influence. Totally under the control of the wine. Okay? Totally under the control of the wine. They are permeated. They are soaked. Oh, I got it up there. Okay. The word soaked here is interesting because this is what pleroo refers to too. being soaked, is they used to take, in the ancient days, they'd take a deer hide, say, for example, an animal hide. What they'd do is they'd soak it in oils and fats. They'd take this hide, animal hide, soak it in oils and fats so it's supple, so they could form it into whatever they wanted to do with it, make a wineskin out of it or do whatever they wanted to do with it, see? And so they'd soak it in there, see? So then this, if you're soaking there with wine, it'd be just permeating the whole thing, see? Every aspect of it is soaked with it, see? So what does it mean here? When we're talking about the filling here, being controlled under the influence of, what we're not talking about here, and I remember when I was young, this is the way I thought it. Well, what do we talk about? We talk about filling up a container, right? Filling up a container. That's not what it's talking about here. I've got an empty jug or something, and I'm going to fill it up with water or something. That's not what it's talking about. See, some progressive thing here like that. It's not talking about that. So it's not filling a container. So to be plural means to be then, to be under the control of, under the influence of, under the influence of, to be permeated by it, to be permeated by the Holy Spirit. To be permeated by the Spirit, to be soaked, see, by the Holy Spirit. To be soaked by the Holy Spirit. That's what it's talking about here. Think of Acts 4:31. Remember the disciples there in Acts 4:31? They had been threatened there by the Sanhedrin and that. So what did they do? They'd been put in prison. They got out and they prayed. And remember what happened after they prayed? The Holy Spirit came down, filled them, and the building shook where they were praying, and they went out with boldness when they were filled, see, with the Holy Spirit, controlled, permeated, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Then they spoke the Word of God with boldness. See? Then they spoke the Word of God with boldness, right in the face of the Sanhedrin, saying, don't preach any more about Jesus. You'll be thrown in prison, you'll be persecuted, see. Acts 6, 5 and 8, Stephen. He was a man full of the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit. Let me see what it says there. It says a little more than that. Acts 6, 5 and 8. Acts 6, 5 and 8. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And Stephen, a man full of faith and power. Full of faith and power. And so when you get to Acts 2:33, it says the Holy Spirit was poured out upon those believers in Christ. That means when the Spirit is poured out, they're under the influence of Christ. See? So, what do we say here in light of this verse? When we're baptized by the Spirit and then filled with the Spirit, we don't receive the Holy Spirit by degrees or parts. Okay? Like filling a container. We're not talking about filled up 20%, 40%, or whatever. We're talking about a controlling, see, being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. His favor, His blessing. And because of that, you see, then verses come into play like Ephesians 4:30 and 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Don't grieve the Spirit and don't quench the Spirit. If you and I go out and sin, disobey God's Word, what do we do? Do we lose part of the Holy Spirit? No. What we do lose, because we evidence then, you see that the Spirit is not filling us, He's not controlling us. We're exercising our own will. We're going to control. You say, I want to do this. Don't listen to the Holy Spirit. What do? Then we grieve Him. We quench Him. So then what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit removes not himself, not 50% himself. He removes his favor, his blessing from us. He says, you want a little more rope? Here, take it. You want to jump over the cliff? Okay. I'll remove my restraint on you. Go for it. Suffer the consequences. And you see, what we experience is the chastisement of the Spirit. Hebrews 12, 6 through 10. Hebrews 12, 6 through 10. Well, then he'll chastise us. You see, we receive his judgment. Now, I've mentioned already, you cannot be baptized with the Spirit without being filled with the Spirit, but you can be filled with the Spirit without being baptized with the Spirit. And the reason for that is this. Let's draw a distinction then. Yes. Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. And we're to be renewed in our minds, remember. Take off the old man, put on the new man. And the middle of that is be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So like Pastor Ryan says, the Spirit works through the mind with the Word of God, concurrently with the Word of God. And we'll get more into that too. What I want to do is distinguish between baptism of the Spirit, and filling of the Spirit. So this is a one-time event. It's monergistic, which means only God working. Monergistic, one working, only God working. Only God working. Only God working. Now, filling of the Spirit, this is interesting to me. Because in one sense, it's monergistic. In one sense. And I've struggled with this, how to exactly come down on this. Because, of course, it's only something that God can do. See? The Holy Spirit indwelling us is something only God can do. But it's also synergistic. It's also synergistic because you and I must submit or yield to the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit to fill us. To fill us. What does it say? Yeah. That's right. Look at Ephesians 5, 16 and 17. Galatians 5. Yeah, right. Ephesians 5, 16, 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you wish. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. See? And of course, that whole passage down through 26, a definition of repentance is in verse 24. Those who are Christ, we've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So you see there, you and I, this is our responsibility there, is to crucify the flesh, the sin, see, in order for the Spirit there to fill us. You cannot be filled with wine and the Holy Spirit at the same time. See? It's an either or. Either or. You can't be filled with wine and the Holy Spirit at the same time. It's an either or. Okay? It's an either or. Now, there's two ways of looking at and key texts, you can write down these texts, because the filling of the Spirit is very practical. The filling of the Spirit is very practical. Key texts are Ephesians 5:18 through 6:9, Colossians 3:16 through 22, and Galatians 5:16 through 26. Okay? Those three things. And you'll see there what they will tell you in those texts is that you must then get rid of the sin, the lust of the flesh, and that, in order to be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, there's certain things, practical things, things of love that are manifest in your life. So take Ephesians 5:18 through 6:9. You can ask yourself, when you look at these texts, how do I know I'm filled with the Spirit? It's practical things. Are you singing? Are you giving thanks? How's your relation with your family, your wife, your loved ones, your children? Are you bringing them up in the nurture in the Lord, or are you exasperating them? See? How's your relation with your employer? How's your relation with your friends, your fellow employees, and all of that? You see, it's very practical. A basic principle, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 5:26, it tells you how not to respond to other people. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That's the negative. You don't treat people that way. In 6:2, though, you bear one another's burdens, you see, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And each one shall bear his own load, etc. there. In there, Colossians 3:16, the same thing. And you see, you and I, what does it say in John 10:10? Here's another key text. John 10:10. I've often wondered, you know, what is the abundant life? The abundant life is the life that evidences filling of the Spirit. The abundant life is a life that evidences the fulfilling of the Spirit. The thief cometh not but to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Now, I was reading on John Piper, and John Piper was talking about Galatians 3:2. It says, do not be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Spirit, the Word of God. Let me get exactly what it says. Galatians 3:2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And typical John Piper style, he says, to be filled with the Spirit, be drunk on the Word of God. Be drunk on the Word of God. That's a typical Piper way of saying things, isn't it? Yeah. Be filled with the Spirit, to be drunk on the Word of God. Now, this is very interesting. Very interesting. Let me erase this. So when we're talking about filling of the Spirit, remember, it gets very practical. You can ask yourself, you see, are you evidencing these practical results in your life? Which would evidence then that you've overcome that. Now, let me say this. I've got all sorts of thoughts running through my head here, all mumble-jumbled. But get rid, let's put it this way, get rid, this really struck me lately here, get rid of the negative first before putting in, or let's put, putting in or filling with the positive. Filling with the positive. Okay? Get rid of the negative first. What are we talking about here? We said you cannot be drunk with wine and filled with the Spirit at the same time. So get rid of the wine. Get rid of that excess. Get rid of the sin. Repent of sin. Overcome then the lusts of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh. Galatians 5:24. Crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts. You have to do that first before you can be filled with the Spirit. See? Right. Yeah, right, right. So this has to be done first before being filled with the Spirit. You and I cannot have some cherished sin in our life and then think that you and I are going to be filled with the Spirit. Okay? You can't have the wine, be drunk with the wine, and be filled with the Spirit at the same time. It's an either or. Now, remember what we said before? This struck me. Because remember what we said? Most everybody, when they look at the doctrine of justification, what did they say? Just as if I've never sinned. And what do we say? The doctrine of justification is what? Forgiveness of sin, but it's also being clothed with the righteousness of Christ. The negative, got to have sin forgiven first. And then what? The positive, being clothed with the righteousness of Christ. You have to have both, but in the proper order. If somebody just says, just as if I never sinned, a person that says that's what justification is, they're going straight to hell. They're not going to heaven. It's no different than Pastor Ryan and I will get into Matthew 12:43-45, the parable of the empty house. The guy with the parable of the empty house, what is it? He had the demon in him. He got rid of that demon that was possessing him, and what did he do? Well, he got out of the broom and he swept his house clean. Oh, boy, I got a clean house. What did the Spirit do? The demon went out looking around. He found no place to indwell. So what? He goes back and he sees this guy that he just left, and he sees the house all swept clean. Oh my, isn't that nice? Now it's better than it's ever been. So what does he do? He brings seven buddies with him, and they indwell this guy, and he's worse off than he ever was before. What did he do? He didn't fill the house with the Spirit. You see, he just had the negative only. And it's the same with the Spirit here, filling with the Spirit. Don't you and I pray for filling of the Spirit unless we first get rid of the sin, repent of the sin. Get rid of the negative, put in the positive. Also, this means the verse, Ephesians 5:18, I forgot to say this. What it means is keep on, the Greek there, tense means keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. That's what Ephesians 5:18 means. So you see, this is something, and we have to stress this. That's what we said. Confess sin daily and be filled daily. You and I are sinners. We've got to confess sin daily. And then we have to pray to be filled, controlled by the Spirit. Okay? Now, This is so, I got so excited on this, I can't tell you how excited I got. Here, being filled with the Spirit, is the same as Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. Okay? This is Ephesians 5:18. It's the same as let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Like John Piper says, be drunk with the word. The spirit and the word work together. Okay. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Right. Right. Okay. Now, here's the thing. This is the same. Okay. You should have that marked in your Bible. And here's the result. The result of all this is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And this is Galatians 5, 16 and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay? Walk. Now, walking in the Spirit, this is the same as, okay? This is the same as the worthy walk. The worthy walk that we've talked about in Ephesians 4:1, Colossians 1:10, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, and Revelation 3:4. The worthy walk. Remember what the worthy walk is. Ephesians 4:1, that you, I, therefore, the prisoner, Lord, beseech you walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. The worthy walk is the axios walk in the Greek. It's the balanced walk. Remember? The balanced walk, axios. It means balanced. The balanced walk. And so that's Ephesians 3:1, 1 through 3, I mean chapters 1 through 3. That's the precepts. The precepts. Okay? The precepts of God. And then Ephesians 4 through 6 is the practice. The practice. Okay? So that's balanced. The more you grow in the Word of God, the more drunk you get on the Word of God, the more it'll be evidenced in your practice. Practice. And this worthy walk is also the same as godliness. Godliness, which, as John MacArthur says, is the manifestation or the evidence, manifestation of the Spirit's work of sanctification. And you and I know the means of sanctification is John 17:17, the Word of God. John 17:17, the Word of God. So the Spirit of God works with the Word of God. And you see, if we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to be drunk with the Word of God. You cannot separate these two, okay? That'll evidence the walking in the Spirit, the same as the worthy walk, which is the same as godliness in our life. We'll be more and more like Christ. Now, what's interesting here again is that Jesus, as usual, is our model. Jesus, as usual, is our model. Jesus is our model. Think of John 3:34. He whom God has sent speaks the word of God. The word of God does not dwell him by measure. Jesus was always filled with the Spirit of God. 100% filled, controlled by the Spirit. And what is Jesus? Jesus is, then, he's the Word incarnate. He's the Word incarnate. So here you have pleroo incarnate. The Word of God, he is also then the way. The way. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So you and I then, what do we endeavor to do? Jesus is our model. Then we walk as he walked. And how are you and I going to walk as he walked? You and I got to be repenting of sin daily, being filled with the Spirit daily. And if we do that, you see, then we can manifest that we indeed are living epistles. 2 Corinthians 3:2. Okay. Now, there's all sorts of other things I've had, but I'm running out of time. I'll just one last illustration, then we'll close. Okay. We are living in a time of vaccinations. Okay, it's interesting, Pastor Ryan brought up vaccinations tonight. But when you go and get a vaccination, what do? They put a dead virus or thing in you, okay? And when they put that dead stuff in you, then you're supposed to develop that antigen in you, that protein in you, then you're supposed to develop antibodies. So then you don't get the real disease, right? Well, what happens with churches today is one guy I was reading, he used this illustration, he says, a lot of the churches today are inoculation clinics. Inoculation clinics. What do? You go to the church every week and you get your little vaccination. You get the dead virus in you, so then you're inoculated against getting the real disease. Well, if you and I get the real disease, which is Christianity, and you and I were really filled with the Spirit, you and I would turn the world upside down. Acts 17:6. Or Acts 4:13. They'd recognize, those people, they've been with Jesus. See? And remember, if I've got one finger at you, I'm pointing three fingers at me. I'm talking to me too here. So we say, well, the fruit of the Spirit is evidenced in us. If we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to evidence the fruit of the Spirit in our walk. Love, joy, peace. Somebody will come back and say, doesn't the world evidence love, joy, peace? And you can say, yeah. Well, then you Christians will say, what's the difference? The difference is what? The love, joy, peace we have is supernatural. The world can't have that. You see, that's up here. That's heavenly. That's not something earthly. And so I'm asking myself, as I'm asking you, if you and I have the Holy Spirit in us, and he's filling us, and we have the supernatural within us, are we going to evidence that we've been just inoculated against the real disease? Or are we going to evidence that we got the real disease, Christianity? And if we got the real disease, Christianity, you and I, they'd look at us like they looked at Adoniram Judson. They'd say, there go Jesus, man. Remember I gave you that illustration? A geographical society met in the 19th century in London, England. A guy came back and he was giving a report to the group. He'd been over in the Far East. Okay? He came back. One guy raised his hand and asked, were there any Christians over there? And the guy answered back, yeah, there was one. He lived in a village 15 miles away. And the one guy nudges his other buddy and he says, just think of that. There's only one Christian there, but everybody knew where he lived. You see, and if you and I were truly filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, they'd say, hey, there's where that Christian lives. See, that's a challenge for you and I. Are we living epistles? Do they see Jesus in us? See? Okay, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word of truth. And I pray, Dear Heavenly Father, the truth truly abides in us. We name the name of Christ. Jesus is in us. The Spirit is in us. The Word of God dwells richly in us. We are permeated. We're under that influence. And we know that can never happen. We can never fulfill the will of God. We can never evidence Christ's likeness in our lives unless we first repent of sin. Get rid of sin, dear Heavenly Father, and then ask for the filling of your Spirit controlling them. And it must be done daily, dear Heavenly Father. This is not some one-time thing like baptism of the Spirit. This filling is done daily. We have to evidence a total dependence on you, dear Heavenly Father, total humility before you. Without you, we can do nothing. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that the sin still remains, that we would repent of sin daily. We truly desire to be filled, controlled by your Spirit daily, that we live to make Christ known. And we do it in a radical, revolutionary way, dear Heavenly Father, that is so non-conforming to the world that people can't help but proclaim they've been with Jesus. We know, dear Heavenly Father, this will never happen, unless we submit and yield to your working, your Spirit in our lives. Go with us now, dear Heavenly Father. I pray each one of us who name the name of Christ will endeavor to be living epistles for Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Without the inner, yeah.